Hi, let's begin today's podcast with a question, and that is, when you travel, I'm kind of curious, are you the kind of person who you want everything mapped out, all the reservations, your itinerary set up, you know, that you could look at on a spreadsheet if you needed to, and you know exactly where you're going and when you're going to get there and what you're going to do? Or are you the person who kind of is like, you can get in the car and go, or have your plane ticket and go and figure it out as you go along? Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle. Well, if you're the first personality, this sermon may be a little bit challenging for you. Before I get into that, I should say welcome to our podcast. I'm John Arnold. I'm the pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Rogers. And we're going to be looking at how God many times calls us to go in a direction without really providing a destination, and maybe gives us only just the next step, but not outlining the itinerary of what God has in mind. And he also sometimes will call us to follow without explaining why. So this can be challenging, but that's the nature of faith. And it shouldn't be challenging, though, if we're in a place where we have a deep relationship of trust with God, right? Because God's not going to call us to go somewhere that's not good for us and good for the kingdom, or to follow into something that isn't of tremendous value. So all of that said, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself and preaching before the preaching. Let's go ahead and move into now listening to God's word and trying to discern kind of where we are with listening right now. Are we listening to the direction and the invitation that God has in our lives?
A reading from Genesis in the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons who they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join me now as we continue to look at God's word. We're in Matthew 9. We're not only reading the ninth verse. I'm not quite sure how I missed that when I was proofing the bulletin. But we're going to go to Matthew 9, and we're going to read 9 through, I believe it's 13. Yes, 9 through 13. So listen now to and for God's holy word to you. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. He said to him, follow me, and he got up and followed him. And as he sat down at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard this, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Blessed be the reading and the hearing of God's holy word this morning. So, about a week and a half ago, a couple weeks ago, my daughter called me up. Most of you know she's a program director down at Ferncliff Camp and Conference Center, and they were in the middle of staff training. And I've assisted with staff training for years, ever since we came into this presbytery, off and on. And she called me up and said, "Dad, I need you to come. Could you come and teach flora, fauna, and fire?" And I said, "I can do that. That would be fun." So I went down there and I spent a whole day with these new staff members doing flora, fauna, and fire. And I think most of you know I have some background with teaching wilderness and nature observation stuff, so it was really exciting for me to get to do this. I love doing that. And I got there, and I got up early the morning before we were supposed to do the training, and I went all over that blessed camp trying to figure out where would be the best place to teach them flora and fauna. And when I say I went all over, I actually grabbed one of her staff members, and I felt a little bit like a VIP because she threw me in a golf cart, and I said, "Go this way, go that way." And we went all over that camp, and I would jump out and look at plants and look at things and go, "No, this is not the place." And I would go someplace else. This is not the place. And I finally got kind of exasperated because I couldn't figure out what the perfect destination was for me to do this training. Everything I had a little bit of something, but nothing felt like the right spot. Like I didn't have a destination for us. And the clock was ticking. So I went to breakfast and I'm trying to figure out where to tell Ruth to have people meet me. And I finally said, "You know what? Just meet me out at the steps in front of the dining hall." And I decided I did something that was a little anxiety inducing on my part because I had not done this before teaching this. I decided this was going to be like a choose your own adventure. We were going to pick a direction and just go. And I would teach them off of whatever we ran into. So it was going to be a wander. And I had three different groups, and it actually ended up being a bold and wonderful and fun adventure. Every group had a different experience. Every one of them was richer than anything I pictured at each of the sites that I went to. I started out in the front lawn because I wanted them to realize, like, there's nature, there's a bounty of amazing things right under our own feet. So we started right at the doorsteps to say, "Well, you don't have to go far." And we sat and we nibbled wild edibles that were right there on the lawn where we were. We walked a few yards and we found a medicinal that I had looked all morning for, couldn't find when I was looking for it. But when we went into monitor mode, boom, it was everywhere. They wanted to know poison ivy, and we found poison ivy, and they all know poison ivy now. I hope some don't know it better than others, but we all know poison ivy now. And the beautiful thing was about it, I looked for poison ivy and I looked for the medicinal that treated it. We ran into both of them literally growing side by side. Okay, I was like, "Now if you touch that, then pick this and rub it on you." And they had all kinds of questions and things that I had never thought about. They wanted to know things like how to make arrowheads. Well, I didn't see that coming in flora and fauna, so we lapsed into the next thing you know, everybody's got a rocket in their hand and they're doing this business. And it was, "Well, how do you make rope?" So, "Well, let's see if we can find some tall grasses." We made rope, and then they had tug of war with a grass rope we made. And it was beautiful and wonderful. I had no idea where we were going when we started that journey. We just had a direction. And that was okay because I kind of jokingly said with them, I said, "I knew it was right no matter where you picked, because anywhere we go in Ferncliff, there's going to be nature. Like, it will be there. We're going to be okay. There will be nature. It will be different nature, but there's going to be nature." And they all had slightly different experiences. It was wonderful to see one young man. He was, I don't remember what country he was from. He was from an international,
he was one of the international students, had never seen a snake in the wild. Whew! You would have thought we wandered across a bull elephant on the Sahara, you know, like in the savannah. He was so excited. I've never seen a snake. Like, that's a real, like, and it's just out. It's just crawling over there, you know? And so it was really fun. And I think back about that, and it makes me, when I look at these passages, I was thinking about that day, because how often we stress out over, we want to know exactly where we're going. We want the destination. We want to know where we're going to land, what's going to happen. Some of us more so than others. I have found in families there are different types of travelers. I don't know about your family, but in my family, Susan knows where we're going. She knows what time we'll get there. She knows what cab we'll be in. She knows what hotel. She knows it all, and she has it written out in itinerary. People ask me, and like when we went to Morocco, they're like, where are you flying into? I'm like, I don't know, somewhere in Morocco. I think maybe Casablanca. You know, I'm the guy along for the ride who goes, hey, that looks cool over there. Let's go look at that, you know. But we tend to want to know directions. And I was really struck when I slowed down and I looked at Abram's story. And when I started thinking about his journey, I realized God really didn't quite tell him where he was going. If you listened closely as we were reading that, he said, you know, to the land I'm going to show you, the land of Canaan. And like I said in the children's sermon, that's almost the size of New Jersey. I mean, imagine me saying, hey, you want to go to New Jersey this afternoon? You know, let's just go. Well, where are we going? And just come on. We'll get there. But where? You know, he just sent him to the land of Canaan. And if you listen closely in the narrative, once he gets there, he's really not even quite there because he keeps moving. Like if you listen to that story, he says when he got to the land of Canaan, well, then they went over to this mountain. And then he was over at the Oaks of Mamre. And then they proceeded on to here. And I wonder at what point Abram said, oh, I guess we're here now. Like, we're here. And I think God didn't give him children until after this, because he would have had to listen to, are we there yet? And Abram would have been like, I don't know. I don't know. How much longer is it going to be? I don't know. I have no idea. How long does it take you to milk a goat? Well, it's going to be like 300 times that. You know, like, I don't know. We used to, like, tell our kids, you know, in increments of, like, movies. It's like watching this three times. Any of you parents do that? Like, we're going to be there after three episodes of, you know. I don't know what they would have done, but they didn't have kids, and they just kept going. And I think Abram at some point probably was like, we've been in the land of Canaan for a while now. God, are we there yet? And from the text, no, we just kept moving around. But God is that way, is what I'm discovering, is that God oftentimes just gives us direction, and it's really okay to be comfortable with that. Because oftentimes life is going to serve up things, whether we have a destination in mind or not, life is going to serve up things that make our thought of where we were going irrelevant real, real quick. I used to teach time management stuff, and for a long time I would have people come up with their to-do list, and I would have them prioritize the list. And I'd say, you know what, prioritize maybe the first five things on your list and just literally put every, like make your list, pull out five things, put them on another piece of paper, set that piece of paper over there. Because I can all but guarantee you that by the time you get through those five, if you get through those five, you have to change what's on the other page. That's just life, right? But we get so hung up on destination, and God is really about direction most of the time. There are some places where he said, I need you to go here right now. He told Philip, like, I need you to go over to that man at the chariot. But he didn't tell him more than that. It was just, go toward the guy by the chariot. And we could go on through scripture time after time where you say, go over there, go that direction. So if you're stressing about something that's coming up or where you should be or what you should do, I would urge you to try to release being stressed on the outcome and just really listen for the direction. What's the next direction? What's just the next step? Now, Abram, his story is similar to but different than Matthew, right? Matthew, he's not really so much told, like, go this way. Instead, Jesus sees him. He sees him sitting at this table, and he says, follow me. I would really love to know more about that story. I'm kind of curious if Matthew had any clue who he was following. Like, we don't have any context. We don't know if Jesus just walked up and saw this guy at table and said, follow me. And he was like, okay, you know, and left. Or he's like, it's Jesus and he wants me to follow him. That is so cool. You know, we don't know. But he jumped up nevertheless and he followed him. He didn't say where they were going. He didn't give an explanation of why. That's the other thing. A lot of times we want a destination. I don't know about you, but I want to know why a lot of times. Like, why should we do this? Why are we doing this? And Jesus, he gives an invitation, but no explanation. Just follow me. Follow me. And I kind of wonder about Matthew. I wonder if Matthew, when they got to the dinner, I would have felt a little bit awkward if someone said to me, follow me, and the next thing you know, we're walking into someone's home to have dinner. Well, you didn't tell me we were going to somebody's house for dinner. That would have been nice to know. I wonder if he walked through the door and was like, what are we doing here? I don't know these. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But he went in. Suddenly, he's at someone's home. He's having a meal. And then I really wondered if he questioned it when in the middle of the meal, suddenly now, the Pharisees are going at the disciples. And I wonder if part of him just wanted to go, Matthew just wanted to say, I'm not one of these guys. I'm not one of them. I just keep talking to him, but I'm going to, you know, and wanted to just slink on out of the room. Or if suddenly he found the Pharisees, he was lumped in with the disciples, and the Pharisees were, you know, pointing a finger at him, like, how did I get in this mess? But it wasn't a mess. It wasn't a mess at all. Jesus had invited him, and he had followed him, and he was calling him in to a whole new life, and he had no idea. And that's the other thing I want to point out, the interesting pivotal thing about these. Now, for Abram, it was very clear that it was a pivotal moment, and everything's changing, right? He's moving. Everything's changing. Matthew, not so much. Matthew just, hey, follow me. It could have been a few minutes. He didn't know it was going to be a lifetime. He had no idea this was a transformative, pivotal moment in his life because of a simple invitation. And that's the other thing I find is when we begin to understand, and this is really coming out for me as we're doing 1 minute with the Holy Spirit, is it's really coming home to me that we just simply need to be listening for direction and invitation. We need to let go of a destination and let go of explanations a lot of times. And that ultimately means there's a whole lot of surrender that has to go on, right? Where we have to say, yeah, okay, I had other plans, but I'm going to let go of those right now, God. And that can be tough. And the thing is, it can happen at any moment. Any moment. None of these were stories where, like Abram, went into the temple, knelt down and said, God, should I move? And God said, yeah, go. No, he was going about his daily business. Matthew's sitting at his counter, doing his job. He wasn't, you know, off in the Garden of Gethsemane in deep prayer saying, Lord, where should I go today? No, God showed up, tapped him on the shoulder and said, come on, follow me. It can happen anywhere, and it doesn't have to look big and surprising. I'll wrap up with just a couple quick examples. In the 1 minute with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to steal the thunder of one of those. You're going to read a story about where I was at a workshop many, many years ago, and we had a lunch break, and I knew almost no one there, and I walked in a room, and I said, man, where should I sit? Who should I sit with? And I felt nudged to go over and sit at a particular table, and I sat down and sat next to a woman, and that conversation turned into me winding up at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary that I had not considered at all. It was nowhere on the map of seminaries, and I was way down that road looking, and because I sat next to someone, I wound up at Austin, and the first day I was at Austin, I met my wife. We didn't get married that day, but I met her that day. We waited a few weeks. No, it was a little bit longer than that. But I met her that day because of a nudge to go sit at a particular lunch table. Not a big dramatic thing. There were no bold lights and smoke and, you know, lightning. Just a nudge. Go over here and check this out. This is the place I need you to be right now. Some of you remember, and I won't go in detail on this story, but some of you remember a couple years ago when the tornado hit, I got stuck near Conway. I ran out of gas, and I went, and I happened to have a gas can, and I got gas, and then I needed a ride back to my car. And there was a young woman who was also pumping gas, and I asked her if she would give me a ride, and she literally paused. And, I mean, I didn't know she was doing this. I found out, like, she literally paused and prayed and was like, God, should I give this guy a ride? Is that okay? I mean, she's a young woman. I was in grubby clothes because I was going to do hard stuff. And she let me ride in the car. And I think most of you know the story that we wound up then. She and her husband had a ministry that was responsive to tornado repair. We had just been hit by the tornado. Cindy Ford needed people to go to her neighborhood. A lot of you went. You know what? That blessing continues to unfold in crazy, miraculous ways. I've stayed connected with that young woman, and I happened to reach out to her this week and say, hey, how are you guys going? What's going on with you? And she goes, do you remember Raphael? And I had to think of him. He was a Hispanic handyman that was a good friend of Cindy's. Some of you will remember him, wickedly good with a chainsaw. And he showed up to help out. And I found out through Andrea this week that he has, since then, he's become a believer. He's become a follower of Christ. His whole family now is in the family of God. And he told her with joy over a video call that turn in his life happened because of the time he spent in service with us here in Rogers. And that just gave me chills. This is 2 years later, because a young woman paused and said, God, should I pick that really scruffy-looking old guy up and let him get in my car? And she listened because he said, yeah, you need to do that. We have no idea how many other blessings happened out of that. We have no idea. Here's a man and his children, and he's changed things in his life that were not good. He has let go of things in his life that would have been destructive over time. And it's all related to people listening to nudges where they felt called and led. God is such an amazing God. He's always calling. He is always directing. And here's the good news. You may agonize over, like, I'm listening. I don't hear. Like, you tell me, pause, slow down, listen, pay attention, pops up. I still don't know. I'm going to tell you this. That's okay. A lot of times you will feel like, okay, I need to be here now. And that's a good thing. A lot of times you won't quite know. You'll be like, man, I feel like I just left a voicemail to God. And I feel like I've left this message about 5 times and he's not getting back with me. And go ahead and trust your heart and move, because it's a little bit like Ferncliff. God has a direction in mind for you, I'm sure. But here's the good news. No matter which direction you go, he's going to be there. It's going to be okay. You know, like, if you make an error in listening, it's okay. It's not like you decide to move here and God goes, oh, man, I'm not over there. What are they doing? He's going to meet you where you are. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a grand and a glorious adventure. And things will surprise you, and things will happen that you could never, never imagine if you slow down and you listen and you do your best to yield and suspend the need for explanation and destination each time you do that. But just learn to trust. Learn to trust. And your radar will go up. I will tell you that. The more you do that, the more clarity tends to come, where you just know. I don't know how that is. I don't get how that works. I don't know if it's simply because we tune into the Master's voice by heeding it. But I will tell you this, just work on the relationship, work on the relationship, work on the relationship, because that's what God's called us into. He didn't call us to follow a plan. He didn't call us to follow a program. He called us to be into a relationship and follow and listen and let him lead. Good things happen. Really good things happen. And we need good things. Anybody feel like we need good things? I think we need good things, right? So I'm going to charge you to listen this week. Listen deeply for the invitation. Listen for the direction. And that's okay if it's just enough to take the first turn. The first turn is what starts the journey, right? That's how we get there. So praise be to God. We have a God who speaks, who always goes with us, who always goes before us, who is always there to guide, to lead, to correct, to help us along the way. Amen.
Hey, once again, thank you for being here for today's podcast. Now, if you'd like to take a step forward in your faith, I want to encourage you to pick up 1 minute with the Holy Spirit. This is a 50-day journey where you simply get one quote about the Holy Spirit every day, a brief reflection, and a reflection question. And the exercises that are mentioned in the daily readings will help you be more aware of the Holy Spirit, more responsive, more faithful. So check that out on our website at fpcrogers.com/resources. We've got a host of other guides there as well. That link is in the description for this video. All right, catch you later.